This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Matt Barber. He's the Director of Cultural Affairs at Liberty Council. He's been a major player in the debate over the definition of marriage, and we want to get his thoughts on a couple of major developments in the past 24 hours or so, including the verdict on a challenge to a decision in California related to Proposition 8, as well as his thoughts on what we're seeing right now in New York State as Democrats there try to legalize gay marriage. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be on.
Well, the story, of course, in California is a little bit of a long and windy one, but the state Supreme Court there legalized gay marriage in the summer of 2008. Voters then passed a constitutional amendment returning it to the traditional definition later that year. Several months ago, federal judge Vaughn Walker decided that that constitutional amendment was itself unconstitutional and then said that that traditional marriage definition no longer stood. Supporters of traditional marriage then challenged that ruling because Judge Walker hadn't revealed until after that decision that he, in fact, is gay. Now, another federal judge has decided that that challenge will not hold up. So the original Walker ruling stands, if everyone can follow that. They basically said that arguing, as I believe you and others have, that Walker should have recused himself or his ruling should be vacated, did not stand up. In fact, a Judge Ware saying that the presumption that all people in same-sex relationships think alike is an unreasonable presumption and one which has no place in legal reasoning. You obviously strongly disagree. What do you make of the judge's decision?
Well, I think Judge Ware set up a false premise there. Nobody was saying that they all think alike. It was disappointing, his decision, not particularly surprising in light of the fact that he actually revealed that he himself has officiated over a same-sex wedding at one point or another. It is disappointing. Again, the issue was not people all thinking alike. The issue was very clear, and the Code of Judicial Conduct requires that a judge step down from a case, quote, if the judge's impartiality might reasonably be questioned or when he, quote, has a financial or any other interest that could be affected substantially by the outcome of the proceeding. Here, and I think attorneys defending Proposition 8 argued it well, he was clearly met both aspects of the bar there. His impartiality, any reasonable person could look and say, hey, it's later been disclosed that he was in a long-term homosexual relationship. He was similarly situated to the individuals who were the plaintiffs in the case challenging Proposition 8. So that's clearly met. He also clearly had he had an interest that could be, it didn't say that will be, absolutely will be, he did have an interest that could be affected in that he essentially granted himself a privilege that he did not previously have. He had the right, he did not have the right to enter into a same-sex marriage before his ruling. If the ruling holds, he does have the right after his ruling. So not particularly surprised by Judge Ware's decision, except to say that it's surprising the level to which he had to contort logic and reason in order to arrive at his unfortunate decision.
Two quick follow-ups before we shift to New York. First of all, if the judge had disclosed his orientation prior to the trial, what difference would that have made, if any?
Well, he would have at least, and that was a minimum requirement, that he at least disclose any potential conflict. At that point, it would have been left up to the attorneys defending Proposition 8 to either move for his recusal or not. I think that they would have and should have, based on the fact that he clearly had a conflict of interest in that he was about to potentially grant himself a newfangled constitutional right to enter into a same-sex marriage.
And real quickly, this puts the case now squarely back in the hands of the Ninth Circuit, which last I heard, they were basically questioning the standing of those now trying to defend Proposition 8. So where do we currently stand with that?
Well, and they sent it back to the California Supreme Court to address that issue. So this is a ping pong match here back and forth from the state court to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Ninth Circuit has a reputation for being the most liberal court in the land. It's the most overturned court in the land. I hope that they will do the right thing. Clearly, the idea that our founding fathers and the framers of the California Constitution could have even conceptualized the oxymoronic notion of same-sex marriage, much less considered it a constitutional right. You know, they called it you know, the sin that dare not speak its name. I mean, so clearly the framers could not have imagined that there would be a constitutional right to take a sledgehammer to the cornerstone institution of marriage and radically redefine it.
Let's move on to New York here in our last couple minutes. And the situation up there is that Governor Andrew Cuomo strongly supports this legislation that would legalize gay marriage. It looks like it's clearly going to pass the New York Assembly, and now it's up to the state Senate, where it was defeated a couple of years ago. From what we're hearing, it's about a one or two vote difference right now. But what are you reading into the tea leaves from what you're hearing up there?
Well, it's going to be a close call. It's a shoe-in in the House. The Senate, there has been much arm twisting going on in the great state of New York with, I believe, at least three nay votes, Democrats. Now changing their tune, and I know they're within one or two votes. It remains to be seen if they'll get the votes needed. Admittedly, it appears that the momentum at this point in time is on the side of those who wish to redefine marriage, because they have made headway beyond where they were the last time it was voted on. So I hope they don't get the votes. I would like to see these legislators stand their ground and show some intestinal fortitude. Unfortunately, the Radical Homosexual Activist Lobby is a very proud and very loud, very effective and very powerful movement. And if they get you in their crosshairs, these legislators, in doing a cost-benefit analysis, say, do I want to just go ahead and capitulate on this thing, or do I want to constantly have this very loud, obnoxious lobby breathing down my neck? Many of them have capitulated.
And last question before we let you go, Matt. If this does, in fact, pass, you'll have a lot of people saying, well, those liberal Democrats up in New York, they let this happen. But the Republicans actually control the state Senate. So what does it say if, in fact, that this does pass the state Senate?
It says irresponsibility and a lack of respect for the institution of marriage is a bipartisan issue. There are liberals on both sides of the aisle, and it's not a partisan issue. It's not Republican versus Democrat. Really, it's a cultural issue, and it boils down to the question of this fundamental cornerstone institution of any healthy society, marriage between a man and a woman, and are we going to take a sledgehammer to that cornerstone and radically redefine marriage into oblivion? That's the question.
Well, traditional marriage has scored some upset victories in Maryland and Rhode Island already this year. We'll see what happens as the showdown takes place in Albany. Thanks so much, Matt, for being with us today.
Always a pleasure.
Matt Barber, Director of Cultural Affairs at Liberty Council. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.